Om Shanti, and good evening, everyone. And a very big and warm welcome to Sister Shilu. Who's meeting Sister Shilu for the very first time? Anybody? Oh, okay, there's a few. Wonderful. So Shilu Ben has been one of Baba's main pillars in Madhuban for many, many years. She came to Baba as a small child with her mother. And as soon as she finished her graduation, she decided to surrender. And those were the days when Sakar Baba was still around. So she met Brahma Baba as well, which is huge fortune. And I know that Shilu Ben has got some very special blessings from Baba. One of them, Baba told her that she has Saraswati. You know Saraswati, the goddess? She has Saraswati on her tongue, meaning the knowledge she speaks will be going to many, many people. And Baba also told her once, when she wanted to go and live in a center, Baba told her, no, you will be the pond where people come, like God's pond. You won't have to go to people. People will come to you. And if you see now her position in Madhuban, she looks after the education wing. She's the vice chairperson of the education wing. And she looks after all the yog shivas, which means the Rajoga courses that they do when people come here for a week. And you can see how not just a few from India, but people from the whole world come to her to learn God's knowledge, Baba's Gyan. So huge welcome to Shilu Ben today. And the topic of today's class is very deep. The first and last effort, Manmanabhav. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Manmanabhava. It is the first and the last effort. Manmanabhava is a Sanskrit word. It is the very essence of the Gita. God has spoken actually in very simple words, but the Gita has the Sanskrit shlokas and it is interpreted in Sanskrit. Man means mind. Mana means in me, and bhava means keep. So mind in me, keep. Keep your mind in me. And this is the first and the last Srimat of God. Keep your mind in me. And along with this, highest elevated Srimat, there are many, many other things connected with this. The Gita gives the essence. The other very interesting, important shloka of the Gita is Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraj. Baba uses this word, Mamekam, which again means me alone, Mamekam. Mam is me and Ekam is alone, me alone. Keep your mind in me alone. Surrender body consciousness and the attachment to all the bodily relationships, religions, and surrender unto me. This is the highest Srimat of God. And the whole Gita actually stands on this basis. Because if we look at the story of the Mahabharata, in which Gita is one of the chapters. The story talks about irreligiousness and how religiousness and righteousness ultimately conquers irreligiousness and unrighteousness. It is the story of conquering attachment, because as the story goes, the Pandavas, they were the children, the sons of Pandu, who was a king ruling, and he died. So it was his eldest son who was supposed to get the throne. But his younger brother, Dhritarashtra, Pandu's younger brother, instead of giving the throne to the children of Pandu, his elder brother, he grabbed the kingdom and gave it to his son, because Pandu had died and the children, his children, could not just grab like that because the younger brother was there. And the Dhritarashtra grabbed it and gave it to his children. It all started with attachment. He was so attached to his children. And the eldest son of the Kauravas, that is the Dhritarashtra's son, his name, he was so bad in his behavior that he said he would not give even 1 inch of the land to the Pandavas. So they lost their right over the kingdom. And how God helped Pandavas, Arjuna, to get back the kingdom. And for that they had to fight a battle. But then on the battlefield, when Arjuna was supposed to use his bow and arrow and kill the enemies, because the Kauravas, who were really cousins, he decided not to go to war because he was attached to them. He started showing attachment towards them. He said, how can I kill my own kinsmen, my own people, my own blood, my own relation? How can I kill them? They were enemies now, standing opposite each other. The Kauravas were ready to fight, but Arjun decided not to fight in the middle of the battlefield. And there it shows how God gave Arjuna knowledge. And that's the Gita. In the middle of the battlefield, between the two enemies opposite each other, who were really cousins, related to each other in blood, and Arjuna, because of his attachment, he decided not to go to war when everything was ready. And God started giving him knowledge that, Arjuna, you have to fight. You are now at war. Don't see these as your kinsmen, your brothers, your cousins, because all his gurus and all those who had taught him the Pandavas archery, they were also on the side of the Kauravas. So all of a sudden the attachment came. How can I fight? I cannot use my bow and arrow. And God gave knowledge, Arjuna, as you are on a battlefield, you can't run away. But Arjuna left his bow and arrow and said, I don't want to fight. I cannot kill. I cannot do this. I cannot. It's not possible for me to do. And then the knowledge which God gave Arjuna is actually the knowledge to conquer attachment. So the whole essence of the Gita is conquering attachment. At the beginning, when he decided not to fight. God told him, Arjuna, because he was saying, how can I kill them? They are my own people. How can I kill them? And God told him, Arjuna, you are actually not killing them because the soul is eternal. So the very first chapter is about the battlefield and how, where they were stationed and how they were ready to fight. So that's the first chapter. And then the second chapter begins when God starts giving knowledge of the soul to Arjuna. That Arjuna, you're not really killing anyone because nobody dies. This body is perishable and the soul is eternal. So the soul, as it is eternal, immortal, imperishable, it is never born, it is never created, it is never destroyed. So you are really not killing, but you are just doing your duty. That's all. This is your duty. This is God's Srimad to you. But he said, how am I not killing? I'm killing them, no? So the knowledge of the soul, how the soul enters the body, it is called birth. When the soul leaves the body, it is called death. So birth and death is inevitable. Anyone who takes the body has to leave the body one day. And don't see the body, just see the soul. And you are not really killing because soul can never die. Now this knowledge of the soul is there. But Arjuna said, how can I see them as a soul? Such a big body. How can I see them as a soul? I don't see the soul. And then God again tells more about the soul, what the soul is. But then still he doesn't understand. And he doesn't want to kill. So the first step for fighting, see them as a soul and do your duty, that's all. It goes in vain and he doesn't understand. Arjuna does not understand. You know, as Baba tells us so much, children, be soul conscious, children, be soul conscious, remember me, you are a soul, you are not this body, see everyone as a soul. Yesterday's Murli also, see everyone only in the forehead, see each one as a soul in the forehead. Shiv Baba is also a soul, he comes and sits next to this soul and then see everyone only in the forehead, don't see anywhere else of the body. But still how much body conscious we become. We forget that we have to see only the soul in the forehead. And that's what God tells Arjuna. So when that method fails of making Arjuna to fight, the second step God takes is, Arjuna, you know who you are? You know who you are? You are a warrior. You are a kshatriya. Kshatriya means warrior. Your whole family has been a warrior clan. Your whole family, your father, your forefather, your grandfather, their father, all were warriors. They've all been kings. And they have all been very brave. They have never gone away from the battlefield. Because for a kshatriya, a warrior, kshatriya is a clan. It is said that whatever they say, they keep up to that word. They never go back. They don't mind dying, but they will never come back conquered by somebody else. They will always be victorious, either be victorious or die on the battlefield. But don't come back defeated. That is what a warrior is, kshatriya is. So don't come back defeated. And Arjuna, your forefathers have been so brave. Why are you becoming a coward and not wanting to fight? You are a kshatriya, you must fight. You know who you are? You know who you are, and if you go back and not fight, then you will be called a coward by your future generations. Do you want to be called a coward? No. Encouraging him to fight. Reminding him of who he was. Now there are many stories based on this. I'll tell you one interesting story. There is a story about a king. He had a big rock type, you know, and he wanted to know who were really brave enough to break that rock. So he invited many people who could break that rock with one stroke, and many people came, but nobody was able to break it with one stroke. And ultimately one thin person, very thin person, who hardly, you know, who looked that he hardly had any strength, he came and he said, "I will strike and I will break this rock." And he said, "How can you? You have no strength at all. How can you do it?" He said, "I will do it, but I also have a condition. My condition is that somebody will tell me something in my ear. He will do the work of just telling me something in my ear. And I will take the hammer or whatever and then break that rock. And it should be with one stroke." So the king said, "Fine, let's see how you do it." And that person took that hammer or whatever, and the other person started saying something in his ear. And as he was hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, the strength came in him. And the strength came in him into such an extent that he broke that rock with one stroke. The king was surprised. "How did you break it? From where did you get the strength? Doesn't seem that you have any strength. From where did the strength come, and what did he tell you in your ear? What mantra did he give you in your ear which gave you that strength?" And he said, "He told me only one thing repeatedly. He told me, 'You know who you are? You are a Kshatriya. You cannot be defeated. Nobody can defeat you. You are victorious. Your father was victorious. Your grandfather was victorious. Your great-grandfather was victorious.'" And he went on and on and on, how everyone was victorious. "So you are also victorious. You are victorious. You are victorious." And that gave him so much strength that he could, with one stroke, you know, break that boulder or that big rock. So that is why they say, you know, the guru gives mantra in the ear. And he says, "Don't tell anyone. Because if you keep telling everyone, then the strength will be reduced." So that is what they do in bhakti. But Baba says, what is the real mantra? The mantra, actually the word mantra is also a Sanskrit word. The word mantra comes from the word, Sanskrit word mantrana. And mantrana means an advice. An advice. Giving an advice to somebody. And when people are just discussing, they say that they are doing mantrana, you know, discussing and suggesting and advising. So that's like mantrana. And the one who advises is called a mantri. Mantri means advisor. In the earlier days, as Baba says, Copper Age, Iron Age, they had advisors to the king. Nowadays, there are all these ministers are called mantris. In Golden Age, there was no need for any minister, no advisor to the king. The king was very wise. So any advice is a mantra. And if you break this word mantra, mantra, there are two words. Man is mind and tra. Tra has many meanings in Sanskrit. It actually means contentment, satisfaction, fulfillment, you know, tra, this word tra. So it is actually nothing but contentment of the mind, fulfillment of the mind, satisfaction, and that's what it is. So actually what it stands for, that something which makes the mind full, contented, satisfied, happy, that's what it means. And it is not just a word for chanting. but it's an advice which the intellect gives to the mind. Oh mind, this is what you have to do. Therefore, mantra. So as the story of the Mahabharata goes, or the Gita goes, God tells Arjuna, Arjuna, you know, do you know who you are? Know yourself. Like Baba gives us so many, you know, points of self-respect. Who are you? Who are you? Today, in today's Murli, Baba said, you are the lawmakers. You make the law for the whole cycle. Just imagine, you know who you are, what you are. And when that awareness comes, automatically we become vigilant, we become very careful, because we have a very big responsibility. So that responsibility was actually told, what you are. Understand, Arjuna, how can you just say you don't want to fight? How can you become a coward? But Arjuna said, never mind, I don't mind being called a coward, but I will not fight. Because I'm so attached, how can I kill them? How can I do this? So first point was knowledge of soul. Second point was the self-respect. And Baba gives this self-respect to us in every Murli. And then when Arjuna does not understand, then God uses the third point, the third aspect of making him understand how to conquer attachment and start fighting, start being a strong soldier. And the third point which God tells him, he tells him, Arjuna, see, he gives him a vision of how they are already dead. God shows him a battlefield in which everyone is dead, the future. And all have died, and it has become like a graveyard. All are dead from the Kaurava side. And God tells him, Arjuna, this is going to be their fate. They are all going to die. Even if you won't kill them, they will still die on their own too. So as they are destined to die, why don't you do your duty of killing them? Actually, we know it is not killing physically, it is killing attachment. Mine, 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 or kill that mine, and I and mine. But Arjuna says, well, if they are going to die on their own, then why should I kill them? You know? A very negative way of understanding this. Why should I kill them? Let them die on their own. I don't want to commit a sin of killing them. Because there's so much sorrow in death. And then there's a big story about death. What is death and all that. So they're all going to die anyway. And then God tells them how this is all destined. You just do your duty. They are going to die anyway. But if you do your duty, then you will be the winner. You have to do this karma. Because only through karma you will get the fruit. But Arjuna does not understand. And then the fourth aspect, when Arjuna still doesn't understand, because he's so attached, he just can't give up attachment. Then the fourth thing God tells him, Arjuna, see, if you win this battle, you are destined to win this battle, and when you win this battle, you will become the sovereign of heaven. You will become the sovereign of heaven. And even if you, supposing you think you will not win the battle, doesn't matter, even if you won't win the battle, you will still go to heaven. And therefore, this battle is for actually winning and going to heaven. So just do your duty. Everything is fixed in the drama, as Baba says. You don't have to do anything. You have to just namesake do it. It is already destined. And you will go to heaven. You will become the master of heaven. Now Arjuna is still not satisfied. He is so attached, he is not satisfied with that answer. And he says, but God, okay, what's the use of going to heaven after killing everybody? I kill so many and then go to heaven. I don't want such a heaven. I don't want such a heaven. What's the use? like kill everyone and then go to heaven. I don't want. Now here also this option failed. And when God sees that Arjuna is not understanding whatever God is telling him, then the last option, what God does is, He shows him His eternal form, the variety form, you know, as the Baba tells in the Murlis. And He shows him destruction. He shows him how all the souls are returning home, how they are going, you know, like a swarm of insects, and they're all going in a huge mouth and everyone going up, and this whole world finish, like, whole world finish. Everything is destroyed. And then his own vision of light, God as light. And in that light form, he says, I just can't bear it, I can't bear it, it's too much. I cannot see anymore. And then he realizes, who is telling him all this? It's not any human being. It's not any human being who's telling him to kill or to do this or whatever. It's God himself. Because at the beginning he was not realizing that it's God telling him this. He just saw the physical form of Krishna, that's all. And Krishna was his friend. So he took him as his friend, you know, telling him or advising him. But it is God telling me. He didn't realize it. And then when he got the vision, at that time he realized, who is telling me all this? It's not any human being telling me. It's God himself. So now how we understand that three biographies have been mixed up. One biography is of Shiv Baba, the other is Brahma Baba, and the third is Sri Krishna. Brahma Baba becomes Sri Krishna, Shiv Baba enters the body of Brahma Baba, and that one is Arjuna, and he tells him to fight against attachment, fight against the vices, and you will become Sri Krishna, the golden aged prince. So as these three biographies have been mixed up, as Baba says, who God is not understood. And therefore Krishna is picturized as God and then speaking to Arjuna in a battlefield where there are two enemies and they are cousins and they are fighting for that piece of land. Actually, it's not just piece of land, it's a whole world being transformed from hell into heaven. And it is conquering the vices, because vices are our enemies. And that's what Baba tells us. Forget everything now. Just remember me, remember me. Keep your mind in me. And this is the first and the last mantra. So when Arjuna gets his vision that it is God telling him, he realizes this and says, okay, God, I now surrender unto you. I will do what you tell me. That's it. And then the battle starts. And then how, they say how Krishna is telling him how to fight the battle, how the enemies will come and how he has to tackle them. Because God told Arjuna, I will not fight on behalf of you. You have to fight. I will only help you. And you do as I say. That's all. You just listen to me, do as I say, and you do the fighting. Because you have to reap the fruit. I am beyond karma. So God is beyond karma. He does not do karma, he does not bear any fruit of that karma. We are the ones who do karma and we reap the fruit of our karma. Otherwise God can do everything, no? Can't he do everything? He can change Kaliyuga into Satyuga so easily all by himself. Why does he need so much time and so much energy of the children and all surrendering body, mind, wealth to transform the world? God can do by magic, no, himself. But no, the children have to do the karma and they are the ones who are going to reap. God is beyond karma. And therefore, the whole Gita makes us understand what we are supposed to do. And that's what Baba says. The first and the last effort is become soul conscious and remember me. Keep your mind in me. Why? Because you have come back, you have to come back to me. This old world is going to be destroyed. You are going to heaven. And this is how we saw this yajna being established. Brahma Baba got the first vision of Vishnu. You know, it's interesting how Brahma Baba got the first vision of Vishnu. Shiv Baba did not give him his own vision at the beginning. Brahma Baba got Shiv Baba's vision only afterwards, much later. The first vision he got was of Vishnu. And when Vishnu told him, the four-armed Vishnu told him, you are the same as me. You are the same as me. And immediately he was so intoxicated. I am Vishnu. I am Vishnu. He was so intoxicated. I am this. That was the first intoxication. And then after that he got the vision of destruction. And that destruction vision made him actually have complete disinterest for this old world. And then he got the vision of golden age. And then he heard that voice, this is the world you have to establish. And you will be the sovereign in this world. And for that, wake up, wake up, wake up. And that made him renounce everything in a second. It did not take long for Brahma Baba to renounce. Shiv Baba told him, whatever property you have, movable, immovable property, your land, your money, your whatever, surrender all that to the mothers. Baba said in yesterday's Murli also, surrender that to all the mothers and you remember me. And that one seed of Baba's wealth, which Baba had, he surrendered that to the mothers. And that was the seed, the root actually, which has today led to such a big organization of the Brahma Kumaris worldwide in 140 countries, and we are the branches of all that. You should clap for yourself. Yes, why not? So that was the beginning. And how Brahma Baba started making that effort. I'm a soul. And how he could conquer attachment. Not that he was not attached. He was very much attached. His family. So he was very attached to his family. But then, when God told him, you are a soul and see everyone as a soul, he started making that effort. His wife's, Laukik wife's name was Yashoda. Baba started writing on the walls, Yashoda is a soul. Yashoda is a soul. Yashoda is a soul. So that even if Yashoda would read that, she would also become soul conscious. And he would read and become soul conscious automatically because she also had great attachment in him. Great attachment. Baba had great attachment to his daughter-in-law, Brijendra Dadi. She was very beautiful, very beautiful, from a very high family. And how Baba used to decorate her with ornaments, gold, diamond ornaments, and take her to kings. And they used to, you know, the queens used to not go out to shops and all to buy ornaments. So Baba was a very good salesman. So he used to take his daughter-in-law with those ornaments on her, and those queens, they used to see those ornaments. Oh, this jewelry is very good. I want this bracelet. I want this necklace. I want this. I want that. And in the meantime, Baba used to carry one extra piece with him and immediately sell it off. to the queens and the kings because they were the his customers. So, and because of her beauty, the ornaments or those that jewelry looked even more beautiful. So he was very attached to her, and now he has to give up that attachment. So his daughter-in-law's name was Radhika. So Radhika is a soul, Radhika is a soul, Radhika is a soul. And she was also so attached to him, you know, that when she would read Radhika is a soul, I'm a soul and he's a soul, that feeling of soul became so strong in the family that each one could be detached very easily. And that's why Baba could surrender all his wealth to the mothers, those who came to Baba. He did not surrender it to his daughter or to his son or to, you know, who were really, who were legible, who were actually, they had the right to it. But God told him, no, surrender it to the mothers. And he became totally detached. And we say this is the first effort. And Brahma Baba did that effort. And that is the first lesson we give to everybody. You are a soul. You are a soul. And then you are the child of God. You are a soul. You are the child of God. Now be soul conscious and remember that Supreme Father. So this is the first step and the last step too. Because at the end, Baba says, this is what we'll have to remember. Nothing else. Everything has to be finished. Will be finished. Will be destroyed. There'll be nothing of this old world left. So before that happens, remove your intellect from all that. So that at the end, you won't have to really repent because you're already ready for it. So this is the last effort. At the end, it should be just remembrance of one Baba and none other. None other. If anyone else is remembered, then fail. And Baba says that last paper will be of 1 second only. And that last paper, the only question will be like an objective question, yes or no. You know, 1 second answer can only be objective question, where you have to just click yes or no, that's all. You can't elaborate. You don't have to, just yes or no. And what will be the question? At the end, it is remembrance of just one Shiv Baba, none other. But that will be possible only when I'm completely soul conscious. Completely detached from the body and the bodily beings and bodily objects and all the, of this physical world. And just one Baba, none other. But for that, for passing the test of 1 second, at the end, we need a long time effort. It's not effort of 1 second. It's not effort of only 1 second. It's a long time effort of being soul conscious. That is why Baba says, be bodiless. I'm a soul. It should take you 1 second. Practice. Whenever you find time, just practice. Your yoga bhatti is not just sitting, but it is whilst moving along, whilst doing everything, it is you are in yoga bhatti. Be soul conscious and remember me. It is a long time effort. Only then you will be able to pass in that 1 second test at the end, whether you are soul conscious, God conscious or not, yes or no. But for that long time effort, that last one moment, 1 second test paper to pass in that, the long time effort is necessary. And therefore, you have to be ready all the time also. Because when that test paper will come, you don't know. So you have to be ready all the time. It will happen suddenly. Baba uses this word suddenly. You know, when we appear for any examination, actually the date is announced beforehand, the day is announced beforehand, the place where the examination paper will be held, that is announced beforehand. So date, day, time, place, all these four things are announced beforehand. But what will come in the question paper, that is not announced. That is not told. And here it is the opposite. Date, day, time, place, that's not announced. But what the question paper is, that is announced. Understand? When it will happen, that's not announced. Where it will happen, where will you be at that time, that's not announced. So when, where, how and all that, that's not announced. But what, that is announced already. That it will be a question of 1 second, to be answered in 1 second. Yes or no. Whether I'm soul conscious or not. Therefore, as it will happen suddenly, we have to be ready all the time. You know, those students who know when their examination will be held, maybe after 1 month, they'll say, okay, 20 days let me enjoy, 25 days let me enjoy. For the last 2 days I will study, no problem. It doesn't matter. It's not difficult. It will not be difficult. Although, yes, if students wait for the last day and try to study it on the last day, they can get nervous, you know. So they have to keep on studying all the time, because only if it's last moment, they will not be able to study. But even some clever students may say, no, I'll be able to study. Okay, they can still study by reading only once. Some are able to memorize very easily by just reading once. They don't have to read again and again to memorize. Okay, that's possible in those examination papers. But in this, it's a practical test. So practical means you have to keep on doing, keep on doing, keep on doing. Like computer knowledge, it's not theory. You just have theory knowledge and that's enough. No, you need practicals. You have to keep on doing, keep on doing, keep on doing. Because theory you may forget. Practicals are important. And therefore Baba says you have to be practical all the time. Because it will happen suddenly. And therefore you have to be ever ready. Any time it will happen, you are ready. You have to go. And if you haven't packed yet, how will you go? You have to be ready, fully packed. When the order comes, come on, and then you go. You don't start packing at that moment. Oh no, give me 5 minutes, give me 5 minutes, give me 2 minutes. No. It won't work. You should be fully packed. Time to go. But when will that order come? That you don't know. And therefore, ever ready, Baba uses this word, ever ready. And long time effort. So how at the end, Baba says, you will have to be detached in 1 second. You should not remember any bodily being at the end. Therefore, renounce the attachment. And we say now that Gita episode is repeating. God is giving the versions in a practical way. And whatever scenes they show at that time, all these are visible now. It's a huge elaboration of what scenes were happening at that time, what age it was. So Baba says it's the same end of Kali Yuga, end of Iron Age. All those signs are visible now. And as the signs are visible now, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to just obey one Srimad. That's all. And Baba said in today's Murli, you don't have to do much. Just follow my footsteps. Just follow my footsteps. That's all. Sometimes it's a new path. You know, today's Murli, new path. And you don't know where to go. You have come there for the first time. It may be difficult for you to understand. But then if you have come there several times and you know the path very well, it's not difficult to go on that path because you know it very well. So it's not the first time, because again this comes in the Gita. Hey Arjuna, we have met many times. But you do not know about your births. Only I know about your births. I and you have met many times. So here again Baba says, it is nothing new. We have met many times. How many cycles we have passed through? How many cycles, endless cycles? You know, many people question that at least somewhere it must have begun all this, you know. Somewhere it must have begun. 50 cycles, 100 cycles, 200 cycles, how many cycles? But can you give any number to the cycles? Supposing you ask me how many cycles and I say that 50 cycles have passed. 50 cycles have passed. And now this is the 51st cycle. Now in the next cycle you will ask me the same question. Then what will I say? Now 51 cycles have passed and 52nd cycle this is. It has changed then. Because last cycle I said 51 and now if I say 52, can I say that? Again it's a change, no? Okay, when will it end? 100 cycles, 200 cycles, how many cycles more? If I say end and then how will it begin again? No end, no beginning. And therefore, you cannot give any number. It is endless, countless, as Baba says. And the beauty of this drama, it is all there in the Gita too. Arjuna, do not have any distress, because whatever you are seeing is nothing new. It's nothing new. It has happened several times. It has happened many times before. Nothing is new. And whatever is happening is very beneficial. That's what Baba says too. Very beneficial. Because this destruction is going to pave the way for heaven. For the golden age to come. The gates of golden age will open. If the destruction wouldn't take place, how would golden age come? So it is very beneficial. Nothing is new. It has happened many times before. Everything is beneficial. And whatever is happening is very, very accurate. That's the way it should happen. And therefore no questions, no surprises, no sorrow, no fear, no worry, no type of negativity at all. Why? Because we have to watch everything as a detached observer. A detached observer. Detached observer means the one who has no questions, no surprises, no worry, no fear, and no doubt also, no doubt. No doubts. No suspicions. Nothing. The mind is very, very clear and clean and totally satisfied. So all the negativity finishes. And it is all based on one faith. What is that faith? Who is telling me this? It is not any human being. It's not Brahma Baba, it is not the Dadis, it is not me or you or anyone. It is God Himself. And when God is telling me this, how can I doubt? The doubt comes when we see human form. That is what happened at the beginning, no? People didn't know that it was Shiv Baba coming in the body of Brahma Baba. They thought it is Brahma Baba. He is saying all that. It was Shiv Baba who said, now you have to be holy and yogi. You have to become pure. And everyone made a pledge, I will be holy and yogi. And there was a big row. How did you say this to Brahma Baba? Brahma Baba said, I didn't say it. It was not me. It was that one. All the visions which children got, they thought it was Brahma Baba doing some magic. Baba said, it's not me. I didn't know anything. I didn't know. Like Baba said in today's Murli, it was when Brahma Baba got the vision of golden of Vishnu, Baba thought, I'm going to become Vishnu, and he was so excited, but he didn't realize it's a whole kingdom which has to be established, and I won't be the only one. I'll have to create subjects for that. I won't be the just one ruler in heaven, that's all. But there will be many who will follow me too. So it has to be a big kingdom. There'll be heirs, you know, a big kingdom. Baba didn't realize at that time. He was just intoxicated. I'm going to become this, that's all. The knowledge was not clear in the intellect, but the intoxication was immense. So Baba has given us that clear knowledge now. So along with the clear knowledge, the proper understanding, the faith, and the determination, how we make the effort, and we know that we are the successful ones, we are the ones who are the right hands of God, who are the helping hands of God, helping God in the work of world transformation, through self-transformation, and thereby ushering or bringing in golden age on earth. Okay? Yes? Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. Thank you.